2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and go!
Welcome back to Walk It Off. It is early on Tuesday morning this week. I'm Dani Wexelman with Gemma Kaneko and Ashley Chavez, as always, and we are pumped to be here today, gathered here today with all my favorite people. Gemma, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Ash, it's early for you over on the West Coast.
It's very early, but I was just telling Rena, I've been up since 6:45 because my brand new cat decided to find her treats, open up the bag all over the living room, and just munch on them everywhere. So we woke up to a beautiful mess. And so I woke up abruptly, and I've been, like, singing ever since. So sometimes these things are good, you know?
Awesome.
Yeah.
We have a lot of different things to get to today. We're working on scheduling in our lives. We're working on new segments for our podcast and our show. So a lot of fun things are coming. I think we're almost in the dog days of summer.
I mean, like a month away.
A month away still?
Dog days are August, right?
Are they?
I have always thought of them as August.
July.
Yeah, because it's the tough patch.
After the 4th.
It's after the All-Star break, and it's when everything is just, it doesn't have to be baseball related, but I would say it's August.
Maybe my dog days come earlier than others. My dog days are fastly approaching. But we're going to start with basketball today. And we're not going to... We're not going to trend or trash anything, but we're gonna play some emoji games, and we're gonna choose emojis based on something that has happened, is going to happen, or you want to happen as far as NBA trade rumors go, because it is the season. The draft just took place in Brooklyn, which was super cool. So there were a ton of draftees roaming around the city. I saw a few at Yankees batting practice last week. They were sizing up Aaron Judge. They were a tad bit taller than him.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe it. Aaron Judge is like 19 feet tall. It's impossible.
But Ashley, I want to start with you. So I want you to tell me a trade that you want to happen, you think is going to happen, or has already happened, and describe it through emojis.
Okay,
I'm ready.
This is a trade that I definitely want to happen, and I have a good feeling that it is going to happen. I mean, it's hard to even start a sentence this way because this is silly in the best possible way, and I love this idea, but I'm just going to go for it. Okay, it's the shock of wheat emoji and then the Irish flag emoji.
What was the first one?
The shock of wheat emoji. It looks like, it's just like a little shock of wheat.
Is she saying shock of wheat?
That's what I am hearing.
Like the flash, the burning... flash
like a shock, like what wheat is grown in shock.
Oh, weed.
Wheat
or weed.
I did not know that wheat was grown in shocks.
Yeah.
How would I ever know that? Am I a farmer?
A shock of
actually this is great trivia, Ash.
This is a vocabulary lesson.
No, I love it, and I'm gonna use it in my next trivia night.
Use it
Yeah, I will. Okay, so the Celtics, obviously it's related to that in some way.
Correct.
Keep going.
If there's a shock of wheat, is it a farm person? Does it involve Oklahoma?
No, it does not involve Oklahoma. It's a play on the person's actual name.
Wheat?
Shock.
But it's not necessarily wheat. It's just the closest I could get.
Grain?
Corn?
No, but keep going. You're getting closer. It's also not something that we would eat.
Wait, you're going to just have to tell us.
Ash,
we're not going to get it.
Give it up.
Okay, Gordon Hayward.
Oh, that's good. Hayward. Wait, that's good. I feel like maybe you should have done wheat and then like an arrow, but that might have been confusing for like toward or forward or something.
Dude,
but that's
going,
good.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Did you make the emoji quiz on
cut
4?
I did, yes.
So this
I made
is
both
your
of
specialty.
Them. Yeah, but those are, like, way easier because they're generally pretty much represent the word. One time I did, it was the spider web and then the jewel, so, like, web gem, right? And
that one was tricky.
Someone replied to me, like spider jewel? Like, no, it's a baseball thing. You know what this is.
That one was a tricky one, I do remember.
Spider diamond? Like, come on.
At least they tried.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
All right, so Gemma, I'm going to go up to you next.
What do you got? Mine has multiple interpretations.
Okay.
So it would be
better.
The Statue of Liberty.
Okay.
You know, there's the little Statue of Liberty square. and then the face, the shocked face.
Okay.
And then like 5 sobbing emojis. Oh, and before the sobbing emoji, actually, before the 5 sobbing emoji, I'm going to put like the squat little doll.
The squat.
Like the little like Russian doll.
Oh, okay. The Matryoshka dolls?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which isn't quite accurate, but I feel like it could
come
across.
But I get what you're saying.
Yes.
So it's about Porzingis.
Yes.
Okay. And leaving New York?
Don't want him to
yes,
leave.
Yes, I don't want him to leave, but no, I think he will leave because...
He should leave, but he shouldn't leave.
Being a Knicks fan is just... I'm not a Knicks fan, but I know a lot of Knicks fans.
Yes.
And it's just an endless parade of sadness.
Yes.
And every time something good happens to the franchise, they're like, jokes traded. So. Yeah.
See ya.
Also, I don't know if you guys saw Charlotte Wilder's article on the night of the NBA draft on SB Nation when she went to James Dolan's band's concert.
Okay.
And she spoke to him, and he was like, psh, whatever. So,
did not see that.
So it seems like... Maybe, I mean, it might be better for Porzingis to not be with the Knicks, but it would make all Knicks fans very sad.
Okay.
Those are my emojis.
Okay. I wrote my emojis down, and now I've decided to change them based on what you guys have presented. Okay. So I'm going to go with the grandpa emoji.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm going to go with the bursting flame emoji.
Like the shooting star one?
Yeah, but the red and orange one.
Okay.
It's like a burst.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with also the dollar bills.
Okay.
And that's
So it's grandpa.
An old basketball player is going to go to the Shock and coach them.
The Shock of Shock.
Is it Dirk because he's 100?
It is Dirk because he is 100, a.k.a. 42. AKA 39.
Like 42 years old?
He's 39.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Okay. Oh, I was going to say, holy crap. That's
He's
crazy.
39, which is basically 42.
That's
at that point.
A baffling statement.
There's no difference. And I like, so Dirk has been with the Mavs since he was 20 years old. They basically declined, to give him the $25 million team option. And they're planning on re-signing him to a new contract, is the word on the street. And basically, the other word on the street is literally give the man what he wants.
Sure.
He's been with your organization, Mark Cuban, forever.
Dirk is the greatest,
he
too.
He is the greatest.
Everybody loves Dirk.
And he's like, you know what? If the team's going to rebuild, then I'm going to be the face of the rebuild. If whatever the team is, I am the face of that, and I'm with the team. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be in another uniform. Give the grandpa what he wants.
True.
And what a great person to have as a veteran presence. Because, like you said, everyone loves him. He understands the game so well. He's just so easygoing and approachable. He's a perfect person to build around. So, yeah. Give this man his money.
Give the man his money.
Agree.
Okay, that was fun. I like that. Thank you for that, Rena.
Too.
Okay, so we're going to move to Trend or Trash. And this one is a bit tough because I think we all know we're going to trash it. But I want to know, there's a question that I want to ask. So, John McEnroe, obviously a tennis great, had an interview with NPR. He talked about Serena Williams. He was asked about Serena being the greatest woman tennis player of all time. And he said, well, if she played in the men's circuit, she'd be like number 700 in the world. He has said in the past, when she won Wimbledon in 2015, that she's, quote, arguably the greatest athlete of the last 100 years. And he also said in 2012 after her U.S. Open victory, you're watching, to me, the greatest player to ever play the game. And that doesn't say woman, female, girl, any gender descriptions. So what I want to know is trend or trash, the idea that we could still be thinking of her in a gender-specific role, that there's no way that she could be the greatest of all time, men, women, whatever gender, transgender, whatever's going on, anything. So trend or trash the idea that she's not the greatest athlete of all time, the greatest tennis player of all time. She's the greatest female tennis player of all time. Gemma.
I trash that, obviously, 100% trash it. But also because it's like this is just a whole separate conversation for a podcast about issues with the world and language, et cetera, that we're not going to have time to go in here. But it's ridiculous that men are the default for anything. Mm-hmm. Like, everything has to be qualified. It doesn't matter. Like, saying someone's the greatest female tennis player somehow implies that, like, men are the default tennis players and should always be considered to be, like, the way tennis players are. Like, the platonic image of a tennis player is some dude. But that is, like, a fault of language. It's a right. fault of, like, history, blah, 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 whatever. I'm not gonna, like, talk about that forever. Sure. But I just think it's ridiculous that he said previously in his life that she's the greatest athlete of all time and is now suddenly like, oh, if she was a men's player, she'd be like 700. Like, to me, that seems like maybe he's mad that people don't tell him how awesome he was all the time. Like, he's, yeah. like, sad about it, and it's, like, pouty and weird. It's like, all right, well, nobody asked you that.
Yeah.
So, like, definitely trash this, because if you're the greatest player, you're just the greatest player. It doesn't – I mean, we've all acknowledged that, like – it doesn't mean she needs to beat Roger Federer every summer. Like, right. in a, that's not how that works.
Right.
So I trash this.
Ash.
Yes, trash, 100%. I mean, it is weird because he has said before in, like, a normal human being should, that she is the greatest player of all time. No gender specifications needed. And then also this time he's saying, okay, like, if she was amongst men, she'd be ranked 700, blah, blah, blah. And then now at this point saying, No, I meant what I said. And I think he just fell victim to whoever was interviewing him, which I am guilty of not reading the interview.
It was a woman. It was a woman, by the way.
It was a woman. Was so he fell into the trap, which a lot of people are setting other men up for that. I'm not standing up for him whatsoever. I'm saying you're weak for falling into this trap because people want those tidbits. They want the controversy. And, I mean, now he's in the spotlight again, so maybe he feels like he would benefit from saying something like that. I don't know. To me, McEnroe, and, I mean, I'm not an avid tennis fan, but I do know a couple things here and there, and I do enjoy watching the sport. But as far as we're concerned, McEnroe's legacy is just an attitude problem and anger. No one really knows him as, like, a great tennis player. It's just that he has an attitude problem. And so anything that comes out of his mouth that's kind of like, oh, God, why did he say that? I just chalk it up to that. Like, I never even think about him being a great tennis player anymore because of the things he's done. And man, you know what? He was passionate on the clay sometimes. he was passionate when he played, and I appreciate that. I enjoy watching people who are, like, incredibly passionate and just nuts, you know? But I don't know. I feel like when you're an older player and you've been out of the sport for a long time, you have to kind of be careful not to turn into the grumpy old man, and he's slowly turning into that with these comments. So, I don't know, hopefully he can just say, never mind, I'm sorry. I mean, I meant that she's super, super great. I don't know how she'd do amongst men, because we don't, and go from there and forget about it, and then never fall into this trap again. And I hope other people who are the media is interviewing, trying to get them into that trap, I hope they're smarter, and they don't fall into it as well, saying something stupid, and then going backwards and being like, no, I meant it. I didn't get trapped, blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know. It's frustrating, but I think we're slowly getting out of this.
Well, I also think it's like there is a baseline assumption that being playing with men somehow is an elevation above just like playing on your own feet. Like there, you know, it's to a certain degree we've talked about this on the podcast before. To maintain competitive balance in some sports, there are women's sports and men's sports, but that doesn't mean accomplishments in one are automatically less than accomplishments mm-hmm. in the other, which seems
Absolutely.
To be the baseline assumption here. Is like, sure, Serena, like you wrote this on our stats, like Serena has 23 singles grand slams, and like somehow that's not as much of an accomplishment as Roger Federer having 18
right.
because he's playing men, which is ridiculous. Like they're both playing at the top of their field.
Right.
They're just playing in like, they're both top level, and it doesn't mean that men's tennis is somehow just like better, like ultimately like
harder.
A better, harder thing.
Yeah.
There's a reason that she plays in this way because it's fair and it provides competition that we can see and is reasonable. It doesn't mean that women's sports in general are less interesting or accomplished because they're absolutely not. And that is the problem that I'm having with this, is that saying someone who is absolutely at the top of their field, well, who cares because she doesn't play men.
Right.
Like what? They're both sports are both kinds of that sport are like equally amazing. So that's how I feel about that.
Two things I want to point out. It's interesting that you guys both talked about him kind of having like the green monster on his back, maybe being a little jealous. He said also in the interview that he thinks he could still beat her. He's 60. John McEnroe's 60.
That's offensive, yeah. Frankly. Yeah.
She could whoop him 9 months pregnant right now.
Yeah, right. And so, yeah, it's interesting that you guys both pointed that out, because I didn't really think of that when I was reading the transcript of the interview. Maybe it's a guy who's been out of the game. The spotlight isn't on him. He's not having babies. He's not being friends with Taylor Swift. He's not dominating the world. He's not the greatest tennis player of all time. He'll never have that title. Mm-hmm. He'll never get that back. But so stay with me for a second. I'm going to trend the fact that we have the freedom of speech that he could say that, and it gives us the chance to come back and talk about it and discuss it and explain why. And listen, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but it gives us a chance to explain why this is still a problem and why we're still trying to grow and how we can get better. And as women, supporting other women, just having the chance to discuss this. So I'm not trending his thoughts, but I am trending the fact that he had this conversation and he said these things, because it just shows we still have a long way to go, but no one is sitting in the back seat saying, ah, he said it, okay, whatever, it's fine, he's allowed to say it. He shouldn't have to face any backlash, he shouldn't have to face consequences, because he should. He should hear it from the tennis community, he should hear it from young women who want to be the best player in the world, not the best female player in the world. So
yeah.
And like, to me, it's the numbers that speak. Serena just is more accomplished. That's how it is.
Right.
I mean, someone asked Andy Murray about this a while ago, like, oh, you're the first person, like the first player to do this. And he was like, no, Serena and Venus have done it both. Yeah. Like he knows that. Like those are things that matter and important, because what to me is the basic assumption that needs to be challenged is that if a man is doing it, it somehow matters more. Or like is somehow harder, because it's not, and it doesn't.
They're just the baseline.
Yeah, and they're always and the baseline.
You're not the baseline.
Yes.
Just to let you know, we're all at the baseline together.
There you go.
We're all at the baseline together. All right, so that was pretty interesting. I also just saw her on the cover. I think it was it Vanity Fair?
Vanity Fair.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool cover.
Yeah.
She's going to have her baby soon, I think, and the world will be better for it. And then she wants to be back January 2018, she said. She's not finished yet. So
if anyone can do it.
Yeah, no big deal. Okay, so let's move to the NFL. Okay, so Colin Kaepernick still has not signed with a team. And I think a lot of people are questioning what he's fighting for. And so they're wondering if he's going to be right for their team. For all those NFL teams. So a couple quick things before we get to the actual point of this. So Kaepernick is 29. He's a free agent. He's only met with the Seahawks, who signed Austin Davis as a backup instead of Cap. Giants owner John Mara, and we talked about this. He made comments back in May, and he said, quote, "All my years being in the league, I never received more emotional mail from people than I did about that issue. If any of your players ever do that, we are never coming to another Giants game. It wasn't one or two letters. It was a lot." And he's obviously referring to Kaepernick kneeling during the national anthem. On his Twitter timeline, there's really not football talk. It's pretty much all social causes and what he's trying to take a stand for. So what we're talking about today is that, are we trending or trashing the idea that no one wants to sign Colin Kaepernick based off of what he's doing off the field and his reputation that he's building off the field? What we're getting at is not whether he should or should not be signed. It's whether the teams are not picking him up because of what he's doing off the field.
Yes.
Is that the reason?
I trash that because I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
I do think that we as fans and the public are given that story, force-fed that story over and over. People like Mara are feeding us this story about how, well, I'm not going to sign him because then my fans are just too ignorant to understand what he's doing and blah, 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 including myself. But I do think the actual challenge and what he's skirting around and what most teams are saying no to is the fact that he's too old and he needs too much work to sign. He needs too much work, and he's too old to be a backup. He needs way too much work to be a starting quarterback, and he needs a good coach in order to work with him to release the talent that he has. He was on the right path with Harbaugh, and then he got, in an unfortunate situation. We all all of us 49ers fans also feel victim of that, where we lost the greatest coach ever. He needs some structure and needs someone that's going to guide him. And no one's going to put in that much effort, I don't care how great of a coach you are, for a 29-year-old backup. It's just, he's just in a bad situation now, and I don't think he's going to get signed because he needs too much work. I don't think it's about his activism and his social presence and how people are, how people react to him now. I do think it's because he's just too much work, and the Giants don't have, they don't have the ability to work with someone like that. They're barely making it now. Like, they can't take on a 29-year-old backup that needs a lot of work. So, I don't know. I think that's the case, and unfortunately, I think that he's not going to land somewhere. I was thinking Seattle would be the place, honestly, but that's not happening, so I don't know.
Gemma?
I disagree. I'm going to trend this because I feel like it's important to talk about the way that the NFL deals with its issues and the way it's chosen to respond to this story versus every instance of domestic violence stories that they've faced. Even if like people are saying to themselves, oh, well, we can't pick up this 29-year-old backup quarterback because he would take so much coaching and work, we're still hearing stories from people in the league who are saying actually the reason is because of what he does with his...
If
people are saying that, to me it's like, well, they told us that. Why would we not believe them? If John Mara is going to say people don't want me to sign him because they are racists, then why would I not believe him when he's telling me that? That just seems like a weird obfuscation, because like it makes you look better to say... It makes you look much better to say we don't have the resources to take on this player than to put out this other story. Like, it's so weird that anyone would want to put out a narrative that would make them look so bad when you could instead make it about the game. But no, that's not what people are doing. So it's hard for me to believe that like, if you have the option to put a more reasonable PR spin on it, but then you just don't, like, why? Why would you do that? If that's his reason, he's still decided to make these comments public because he cares so much about keeping these bigoted and racist fans spending money on this team that he needed to make that a public story. And that is not good. That is bad for the sport. It's bad for fans. It's bad for, like, just our world and discourse as a whole. And, like, I do know a handful of people who are going to completely stop watching the NFL this season because of the way that Kaepernick has been treated by the organization. It's also, like, when we see, can this person redeem himself tours for guys who are beating up their wives, and this is, like, somehow the most unforgivable thing you can do, quietly kneel during the national anthem? Like, it's something that does need to be spoken about, regardless of if people are telling themselves they're not signing him because he's not a great idea for your team just from a pure sports point of view, which may be true. There is still a play being made towards those fans who want to spend their money on these teams so they can say, like, oh, but, like, don't worry. We're not putting up with this. Keep spending your money on us, which is insane because his jersey was one of the top selling jerseys of the entire season, like, a couple years ago. So it's like people will spend money on that, but they want to make sure that they keep these other fans near them. So either way, they're trading on this bigotry and racism. And that is something that I think we need to be talking about.
No. I think there's a confusion here. I agree with you on that 1,000%. My trash was the idea that these teams are like, No, he's too much of an issue. We can't do that, when really it's a lot more than that. And I think that if he were good and if he were a talented, I mean, he is talented, but if he were, like, really good and easily would slide into another team, it doesn't matter what he's doing. And we know this. It doesn't matter what you're doing unless you killed a person. And
even if you kill a person, if they can't prove it.
You have to get caught, of course. But even if you kill a guy, you're still going to get... Someone's still going to pick you up. It doesn't matter what the fans think, what this, what that. So, and also, a lot of the fans, if you're good, then people are going to turn a blind eye to whatever you did. I think that I do agree that this needs to be talked about more and more and more, because it's very important, especially with the domestic violence thing, because we're okay with that, but we're not okay with someone doing a silent protest is absolute insanity. And the fact that people are not even willing to discuss it and understand what he's doing still to this day is absolutely insane. But I do think because he is not good enough right now, that's the reason why people aren't picking him up.
Then why don't people say that? Why do people say it's because he's not good instead of saying it's because of his activities? Like, if... You have the choice to say one or the other, and if someone says it's actually because he kneels on the field during the anthem, like,
the fans,
don't say that.
So many of these ignorant fans, which is, like, what, 100% of the NFL fan base, they are so angry about this one issue, so angry, more than any other issue, like killing a guy. They're way more angry about this, so they want to appease their fans by saying, this is the reason why we're not taking this guy. Certain owners. I don't think this is for everyone. I don't think every single owner is saying this, because they're not. But the ones who are saying, oh, my fans don't like this, I can't do this, no, they're just trying to appease their fans. I think that they're lying.
Okay,
and I think that's BS.
A few things. One, I am trending the idea that he's not getting signed because of his what he's doing and what he's standing up for. Because I think that at the end of the day, he is 29. He is older for a backup quarterback, but he has veteran presence. He's played the game. He knows how the game works. He knows how to take care of his business. He may not be the number one backup QB, but he can be a mentor to somebody. And I think that teams have done that a lot in the past. That's not above them. But I think because of what he's doing, I literally think there's no other reason. Like, we have seen guys go to teams who are not good. And like we mentioned, so the Giants signed Josh Brown to a new contract after he was arrested for domestic violence. They kept him on the team last season after he was suspended for domestic violence. So again, okay. And
what did the fans say on that one? Where were the letters
right
on that one?
So what I'm thinking also is that a lot of times with these things, we didn't see him. Ray Rice was different. We saw what Ray Rice did, and we saw where Ray Rice is now, right? Well, we didn't see Josh Brown. We didn't see Michael Vick. We didn't see all these other guys, right? The myriad of guys do what they did. We see what Colin Kaepernick is doing, and a lot of people, they're obviously the military and the people who protect and serve our country can see it. So I think that when you see the action, it's a lot different, and it hits you in a different way. And I think that we're taking a stronger standpoint. If we couldn't see him doing it, but he just was talking about it, I think it would be a completely different story. If he was just talking about it on social media and retweeting things that he was passionate about.
He was, right. And it didn't have any effect whatsoever.
I mean, I think we need to be careful with equating his visual gesture with a video of Ray Rice punching someone in the head.
No,
like that, we need to be careful with that because, like, yes, I know you're not saying it's like on the same level, but also there is definitely power in the visual. And I think maybe like the seed of this is actually because his gesture has resounded so widely. It's people have this negative reaction to it, but.
Well, yeah, because you don't see professional athletes doing this. You see them put their uniform on and play their game and sign autographs, and we hold them to a higher standard sometimes when maybe we shouldn't or we should. That's another conversation. But yeah, no, definitely not equating, but I do think that the power of seeing him do it hits people a lot differently than just hearing him talk about it, hearing him in the locker room at a press conference or wearing a patch or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking this to a whole new level, and I think that we're going to see a lot more of it this season. And I think, to be honest, like, this is going to create an entire wave. I think that people who...
I hope so.
I don't think it will, because I think that even when he was still playing and he was kneeling, we saw soccer take a stand and say that you have to stand during the national anthem or you're out.
Right.
We saw other players start to do this with him and then stop.
Mm-hmm.
Also because they can see what's happening to his career. Like, there's a disincentive to continue on his path in the NFL. Other sports we can discuss, but in the NFL, because they see what's happening to him. And I think that people are at a certain point going to be like, oh, do I want that to happen to my career? Talent level, not even a part of that.
I don't know. I think that when you have
numbers. I wish so badly that when he was at the top of his game is when this happened. Because I would love to see the reaction and how things went when he was Colin Kaepernick, I'm on the cover of the body issue, I'm making it to the Super Bowl, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm fast like a gazelle. If he were that Colin Kaepernick making the stance, I wonder how many people would follow along. I wonder what the reaction would be with the owners, with the public, with everything. But when you're a backup and you're barely, like, he's tweeting nonstop all day saying this, and this, and no one's even paying attention, and he has to come through and make a stance on the field, it's a lot different. It's so much more different. I wish so badly that we could have seen great Colin Kaepernick do this. Or another great player. I mean, I agree with Gemma, but it's going to be hard for other people to follow his lead when he's not playing.
I hope there are some,
and I hope we get one good player, like a really, really good, well-known player to do it. But I also, with that said, I hope it's not Cam Newton or someone, because Cam Newton's already dealing with enough crap right now.
Well, that's part of
it,
too.
And if he does do it, then people will be like, oh, it's just another, like, blah, 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 look at him, he's a thug, he's this, he's that again, which is so frustrating because look at him, he's incredible. But I hope we do get more good players, maybe some, like, other of other races, too, which would be cool. I don't know. Let's just hope for the best, but I'm not too optimistic.
I mean, there is definitely a disincentive to speaking a certain way, because if there's already a culture that's here to say, sit down and shut up. Like, we don't need to hear this from you. Mm-hmm. You need to do a certain thing. Do you want to sell things? Do you want endorsements? Then don't alienate people. Don't alienate mm-hmm. these apparently hundreds of thousands of Giants fans who are writing in. Like, that is a very serious thing. So it's like, do you want to protect your career? Do you want to make money? Like, then don't say things that are going to cause people to boycott your brand. And, like, it would be nice to think that we're kind of coming out of that era, but it's obvious to me. Like, when somebody spray-painted a racial slur on LeBron's house.
LeBron James.
It's like, he's the greatest. It's LeBron James. And, like, there's no freedom from that. And even when he does speak out, there's always someone who's popping out of the woodwork to be like, screw you. So you can be as great as possible, and there's always going to be a disincentive to try to stay quiet because you don't want what is happening.
Yeah, well, we're going to keep an eye on it because I think it's going to be a conversation all year. I think it's going to be really interesting to see if players decide to follow suit or kind of, you know, back down and keep their head down and play the game. Okay, we have to move on. We have to move on. We're going to do our predictions. Okay, so the Dodgers ended their 10-game win streak, but what I want to know is, will they surpass it, and what will that number be? What's their highest win streak going to be this season? Gemma?
I don't think they're going to surpass it. I think it's going to stay at 10. Okay. But I do think they will have more win streaks, and they're probably going to win the division. Sorry, Ash.
No. It doesn't matter. You don't need to win the division to win a World Series, so it's fine. I don't need to.
Well,
you're
well,
only 30 games back. It's fine.
I know. Oh, I'm aware.
But it's again, a very like, odd year.
You don't need to win the division. It's like an always the bridesmaid kind of thing for the old Dodgers. But it's fine. I agree with Gemma. Yeah. I don't think that their win streak is going to exceed 10. It might get to 10 again, but that's it. I think their losing streak will hit 15. Hey, no one asked me that question.
All right, I'm going to go against both of you. I'm going to say 11.
Okay, bold.
Okay, Giancarlo Stanton.
Price is right over here.
He hit 24 home runs in the first round of the Home Run Derby. By the way, he hit 61 total last season. How many home runs is he going to hit in this year's first round of the Home Run Derby?
I think 12.
12?
Yeah.
12?
12. Let's do this.
Gemma?
I'm going to go higher. I'm going 27.
Ooh. 27 in the first round?
He hit 24 in the first round last year. It's not that insane.
That's true. That was crazy. And he is home. But isn't
he's home.
Miami a bigger, way bigger park?
Yes, but he hits a lot of home runs in that park.
Right.
So it's his home. He free, like, it's not, it's his homer rates, it's a lot of homes, you know, whatever. Home, but it's higher there, so range. he's gonna kill it. He's gonna crush.
I'm gonna say 24. I'm gonna say matches. All right, Cody Bellinger, he had 5 home runs last week. How many will he have this week? And by the way, they're playing the Angels. 4-game set in the Padres this weekend, for reference.
Not fair.
Yes.
I'm going to say 1.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to go low, too, actually. I was going to say, like, maybe 2.
I'm going to go 2. Okay.
But they're playing the Padres. Whatever.
Tim Tebow.
Hey, you know what? Padres, especially, Padres are always that one team in your division that it's like, I thought this was going to be an easy 3 games, and the next thing you know, you're...
Yeah, for sure. Well, they stoop down to their level.
Yeah. Welcome to the Tigers.
That's what happens. Yeah, in baseball, that's what happens when you do that. Okay, Tim Tebow will debut in the majors on what date? Ash.
I mean, how I'm trying to find a clever way to say never. He's never debuting in the majors, ever. Never, ever, ever.
I'm going to say...
I will boycott.
What, Ash?
I will boycott.
I'm going to say he will debut in the majors opening day 2035 when the country has changed to such a degree. Everything will be totally insane. And they'll be like, oh, you know what we miss as we wander through like the Mad Max style desert? Baseball. And then Tim Tebow will like rise out of the sand and be like, I will be a starting outfielder.
Will he have wings too? No.
He'll be the guy with the guitar.
Oh God. Okay, I'm going to be bold and I'm going to say September 2nd, 2017.
Of this year?
And producer Rena says October 1st, 2017 because she thinks the Mets are going to make it. Because that's the last day of the season? Oh, okay. Last day of the season. Yeah. October 1. Okay, I think that they're just going to burn up in flames this summer and they'll need him. Okay, last one. Big Poppy, number retired last week, number 34. Hanging with all those other incredible humans. Who's the next guy to have his number retired?
That's tough. Because he has to kind of be a lifer.
I'm going to go with Ichiro, number 51.
Yeah.
He's next.
Who's going to retire his number?
Every team.
Yeah. That's a good question.
The Mariners.
The Mariners.
They would retire it.
The Mariners.
Yeah, right. It would have to be the Mariners.
Yeah.
Number 51. Okay, so we're going to do a few quick hits and then wrap this bad boy up. All right, K-Rod and the Nats. They are family now. Six-time All-Star, former Tiger. Gemma's familiar.
Yep.
The Nats relievers have the NL's third worst ERA at 4.88. They have 12 blown saves. The Tigers removed him from the closer's role in May. And then this is the best part. The Nats relievers have been they've needed work. They need work. They need help. There's a fan. There's a Nationals fan who passed away a few days ago. And in his obituary in the Richmond Times-Dispatch, he said, quote, it said, quote, he passed away peacefully at home after watching the Nationals relief pitchers blow another lead. That is a true story. That is not a made-up thing. That was in an obituary. So is this a good idea? Are the Nats going to go all the way with K-Rod? Gemma. This is a quick hit, by the way.
I know. I'm not going to say anything to you. I mean, I cut K-Rod from my fantasy team earlier this year as well. So, no. I mean, no. Because unless it's the Tigers' curse, which is that every time someone picks up someone we DFA, they somehow get good.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, no. This is a bad solution to a bad problem.
That's a good way to put it, Ash.
I agree. I do. My quick thought is, aren't the Nationals fans surprisingly passionate for a fairly new franchise? I'm always surprised by that. They always have these funny stories like that one. That is so, that's such a lifelong fan kind of situation. A lifelong, like, miserable fan that I love so much. So I'm always so happy when I hear these stories. They're great.
Expos fan first, obviously. Transferred Nationals fan. I'm going to say that it's not, I'm going to say it's a Band-Aid solution. And
it's like a Band-Aid that you found in the subway, like next to a dead rat.
They were really desperate.
Sorry, K-Rod.
Graphic. they were desperate and they picked him up, but it's a Band-Aid solution and it's a bad Band-Aid.
If we've learned anything from the Tigers, it's that when you get a reliever who is really good in the early 2000s, it doesn't work.
If he returns to old form, I think they'll be golden. I don't see that happening. The freeze. The freeze is like the latest phenomenon to hit all of baseball. This guy is unbelievable. Gemma, you talked to him, right?
Yeah, you can listen to that interview on the Cut Forecast.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Cut Forecast, cut4.com. Go to iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
So which player in the league currently could beat the freeze in a race? Give me one guy.
Does the player get a head start?
No.
Okay.
Even race with the freeze. Former college sprinter.
Billy.
D.
Billy and D.
Mm-hmm.
Those are Billy good choices. And D.
I think they would freaking smoke that guy. I would love to see that. I really, really want this to happen.
I actually think the freeze might beat one of them. I don't know which one. I just feel like he would...
Obviously, it would be Billy because you chose D.
I mean, I like D, but he would draw on, like, the deep reserves of inner strength and just power past one of them. He was a great guy. His story is really amazing. He works so hard. Like, I don't even know how anyone can work as hard as the freeze does.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
It's pretty cool. I love that he's getting recognition.
Yeah.
Me too.
Shout out to
he
the
works
Braves.
So many jobs. He's getting his teacher certificate. He's on the grounds crew. He's also the freeze. He still trains for track.
He's gonna be, you know, he's what, amazing. He's gonna be fine.
I love him.
Like, I think that, like, he's won the hearts of baseball, yes, and the players.
Now all he needs is some sleep.
Yeah.
Because he has a night job too. So he, like, works a night job, sleeps, goes to class, goes to the grounds crew, does the thing. Like, yeah.
Dude, Braves,
shout out to you.
And
my
trains,
friend.
And he still trains. He works so hard.
He's gonna be in the Olympics.
Well, he wanted to be in the 2016 Olympics and didn't make it, so now he's going for the 2018 track championships, okay. World track championships.
Nice. Yeah. All right, last one. Isaiah Thomas says he would be the greatest basketball player if he was 6'5".
I mean, I would be the world's greatest soccer player if I was slightly faster and, like, could hold muscle. If you know, ifs and ands. Come
on. I mean, that's exactly how these things are. It's like, okay, well, sure. But would he have worked as hard as he did if he were as tall?
No.
Maybe not.
Point.
Maybe he wouldn't have had the determination. This is what we love so much about Isaiah Thomas, is that he's smaller and just breaks ankles and goes nuts. So right. I don't think, maybe he wouldn't have been the same player if he were taller.
Like, you are who you are and embrace it. I feel like by him saying this, like, kids will be like, oh, man, I didn't grow up to be this, or my shoe size is this, or I can't palm a basketball. Like, figure it out and become great.
Exactly. All right. He's an inspiration to us all.
Jeez Louise. Come on.
Danny's words of wisdom.
Isaiah. All right, so that wraps it up. There's a lot of things we didn't get to. It was a busy week. Next week is probably going to be equally as busy, I think. So we're going to come back, and we're going to chat. Gemma, what do you got in the pipeline?
So we talk about our opinions and feelings all the time on this podcast. If you want to see how your opinions about baseball match up with other people's, there's going to be a little game on Cut 4 this week that you can play. So
fun.
You can determine if batting around is 9 or 10 and how crazy you are if you think it's one or the other compared
yes.
to everyone else. And other stuff like that. Best mascot, you know, bat flips, DH, etc.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fun.
Ash, what are you working on this week?
Flipping live, you know, like playing with my new cat.
Yeah.
She's great. She's a freaking lunatic in the best way, and I love her. She falls asleep in really funny ways. She likes to stick her tongue out and stuff, which is adorable. So this week's kind of an easy week.
Easy week. I like it. Okay. All right, cool. So we're going to wrap it up. We're going to be back next week. If you want to be our friend, you can.
Yay.
We're open to all friends. And that'll do it for this week. We'll catch you next time.
Now the 2-2. Well